Good evening, our boys. It's a great honor and privilege that we're able to welcome the Magichir of Gate and Sefi Dibur Psicha.
It's not much putting somebody on the spot. They say, we're learning Hilcha Shliach Tzibur. They say a Shliach Tzibur has to be a Shliach Tzibur. I don't know what's a Shliach Tzibur, but just, we learned, Rav Yossi was saying, we learned halachas yesterday of firing the Rav. If you can fire the Rav, you can't fire the Rav. Today we're going to learn about the Rav and the Chaznim Yitz Hashem. So in one of the Seif we're going to learn, I hope I don't chap chap is the drosha. One of the Seif we're going to learn, did you learn yesterday? You learned way up to? Chavav, you finished the Ramah there? Have you learned about the Chazan and the Rav? The Chazan and the Rav?
Yeah.
If you've got a choice between the Chazan and the Rav, who should you choose? The Shulchan Aruch says, if it's an exceptional super duper Rav, like Rabbi Patkas, something like that, then you go for the Rav. Otherwise, it is like a standard Rav, one like me, my sort. They're just like, you know, a few halachas and the chazik b'olam. Then who comes first? The chazan comes first. Shliach Tzibur comes first. So in my Shia, okay. So when we were discussing it together, and Gates said, they asked the question, what do you mean? What sort of super duper Rav is this if he doesn't even know how to daven? Of course he knows how to daven. So what's the problem? So if he knows how to daven, so he'll get the Rav. And he'll daven for you. What's the problem? Why do you have to? What's the shaila bichlal? The Rav, you get the Rav, and the Rav will daven, and shalom ad Yisrael. What's the big shaila? Stumped the oilam in Gate said. Can you imagine that? It happens sometimes. Stumped the oilam in Gate said. Nibble nishtoimim. And they also had this question somewhere else came up. What's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? Says the Eish Lavram of the Buchacha, we're making a very big mistake. Did you mention this? Yeah, oh, very good. Ruchacha says like this. He says, how can it be? You think, says the Eish Lavram in Siman Sadi Gimel, you think that a Rav is somebody who will be able to step in for the Chazan. It makes a big mistake. Do you know what a Chazan is Shliach Tzibur is? It's somebody who prepares his davening beforehand. He knows how to sing, he knows how to listen to daven with his ears to hear where the oilam are up to. He knows how to daven loud and how to know to stop, where to stop, when to pause, where to go, thing. But Rav hasn't got his mind in that. The Rav's thinking about the drosha. He's thinking about if they put the blech on in the kitchen. He's thinking about who's broigus with who. He thinks about the stock in yonim. He's not got time to be oisin shliach tzibur. And the inyan which comes out of this siman is the shliach tzibur is a tremendous melocha. It's something which is an arbut. It's something which takes time. It's a kinyan. It's something which is a special zechus. It takes preparation. It takes koyim. It takes koyach. It takes time. That's what we see from the sim. It's not just so we come go and daven ahead of name. It's an avodah. It's a melacha. And in the same way that this shliach tzibur is a melacha, we have to understand it shows the tzuras hatfilah. So too, we have Rabbi Patkas every day as a shliach tzibur for us that he teaches the shiurim, and you think he just runs in and just gives it over in such a clear and amplified. That's a good word for that, Chais. You know what I mean? It's an animated way. And you think it just like comes and goes. It takes hours of preparation and time, which he hasn't got. And that's all part and parcel of being a Shliach Tzibur. We're makitov to him. All together, as you know, we're all over halfway through the halachos of Hilchos Chelek Aleph. Shgu Michael El Choyel. Kash azachinu le sader oisoy. Hey, niskada soisoy. I didn't come here to talk. I came here to listen. Thank you,
everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Divin Brocha, Divin Psicha. Thank you very, very much. Gresen Shkoech. If this is how Rabbi Katanka speaks unprepared, you can imagine how he speaks. Yeah. Okay, we are indeed in the middle of Simon Chav Dalet, in the Ramah. We started speaking about when are you allowed to sack and fire a Shliach Tzibur. So let's start from the Ramah. The Ein Mesalkin, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Ein mesalkin oisim mishum rinun be'alme. If there are just rumors about a shliach tzibur that he behaves inappropriately, you cannot fire him. Kegoin such as shiotzal of shame shenit vasim akutis. It was some sort of rumor that he had shaykhes with a goyish lady. Oshemasa odom, or that he passed on a person to the authorities, which of course we can't do. Then if there was just rumors that he was involved in this kind of inappropriate behavior, then if there's rumors, you cannot fire him. Avalim bo'ol of Edim, but if there's genuine witnesses, we saw him that he actually went to the authority, and he went to and he passed on the information. It was a genuine edim that he was in, that he did it. Then yes, of course, he's not the right person to be a shliach tzibu. Ma'aviri noisy says the Rama. The Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Ein Vav says an interesting point. He says, "Mikol Mokem Shenitfas." He was caught. Mikol Mokem Yeshlochush LeKoy LoYishiv Beit Nal Kocha. The Mishnah Berurah says that if there's rumors, of course you don't act. You don't just sack him because of his rumors. But he says, "Yeshlochush LeKoy LoYishiv Beit Nal Kocha." Investigation, further investigation is appropriate. You don't, if there's some, you know, that he's got some, there's some rumors, the whole city talks about him doing something, you don't act, you don't just fire him, but you will ask the Dayanim, the Beis Din, to deal with the matter and see if this, it's appropriate to investigate this further. Shliach Tzibu Shebito is in Sotachas Bailo, Shliach Tzibu whose daughter was Mezane, and his daughter was married and she did inappropriate behavior. It is inappropriate for the father to be appointed Shliach Tzibur. But if this rumor spreads after he's been a chazan for a while, you will not find him because of that. Very interesting halach. And to be honest, I don't fully understand that. Yes, of course. I mean, the halach again is that if there is a chazan who's been a chazan for a number of years and his daughter was mezaneh tachas balo, then you don't fire him. But if he's just a candidate to become a shliach tzibur, to become a chazan, then you're going to look for somebody else. You're going to appoint somebody else. However beautiful his CV is, might have a beautiful CV and invite him to, you know, like chazan, they invited to have a kolnida in the middle of a Wednesday morning. So, and he does, I hope, however beautiful it is, but you're not going to actually employ him because there's a rumor about his daughter. I can't say that, fully understand that. Well, to some extent, we can appreciate, you know, that chinuch, you know, chinuch and everything that we are to a large extent, we are the results of our parents as chinuch. But is it the ultimate answer to all our crimes? Can we blame our parents for all our crimes? We like to do that. But is that really, why is it that zinsotachas bala, not quite sure. Any suggestions about that? I mean, keep going. That what? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I hear. Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm not sure. Good point. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can say is maybe. Maybe worthwhile mentioning, this is Gemara in the end of Yuma that speaks about Miriam Bas Bilga. Miriam Bas Bilga, she came from a good house and she went, what we call nowadays, she went off the Derech. So much so that she went to the Yevonim, she went to the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and she went and she took her shoes off, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember the Gemara? She took her shoes off and she went in the Mizbeach, and she was mevazeh the Mizbeach. She was very disrespectful to the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And she was very, very disrespectful, and she spoke very, very inappropriately about the Beis HaMikdash. What happened was that the Beis in the Sanhedrin didn't just they acted, and they put the entire family in Cherem, but they punished the entire family, her parents, and the entire family. And the question, of course, is obvious: just because she does a crime, why would you punish the parents and the entire family? How? Of course, she deserves a punishment, but why would you want to punish the family? So the Mefarshim explain a very important thought. They say that if she was disrespectful and she went to the Beis HaMikdash and she made chosek with the Beis HaMikdash, for sure this came from the house. This is not something that she developed independently. This is a feeling and emotion that was fostered and encouraged from the house where she was brought up. So although she was an adult, she was a mature adult, but nevertheless, this must have been fostered at home. The fact that she was disrespected, Kedusha, and its opposite, is something that comes from the house, from the parents' house. Okay. Continues the Ramo. Continues the Ramo, excuse me. The top line of page 168. Ushliach tzibu shu shoychet v'boydeik. Ushliach tzibu who acts both as a shoychet and a boydeg. So he's a shoychad and a boydeg and a shliach tzibur. So he's got quite a lot on his business card. Lo yispalel bevgodim atzoyim asrichim. It's inappropriate for a shliach tzibur to be davening before the omot, and he just comes from a whole day's work in the abattoir, and he comes with his clothes, which is used for shechting the animals. And he comes in. I mean, I went to abattoir not such a long time ago. It's a fascinating experience. It really is. But afterwards you need to make sure to come with different clothes into the Beis Medrash. And certainly the actual Shoychet, the Ramah says, Shliach Tzibur acts as Shliach Tzibur. He has to make sure that he changes clothes before he goes and takes the Amud. Shliach Tzibur shall Shoychet avoid gulo yispal bevgodim atzoyim asrichim. He must change the clothes before he takes the Amud. If Kotten Pe'alef in Mishnebura says, Lahachlif, it is even appropriate that he should change his clothes when he before he goes amongst people. Schmutzige clothes, you don't walk around with schmutzige clothes, and kavachoyim eno if you go to daven. Shlei bichtal amasniim, tekshem shetamid chochem also latzis b'shuk, b'vgodam luchlochem, kach shliach tzibu afol pisheinu tamid chochem. So there's a halacha that a tamid chochem is not allowed to walk around with dirty clothes. It's a tamid chochem is not allowed to walk around with dirty clothes. So he said it doesn't only apply to the Talmid Chacham. Even the Shliach Tzibur, even if it's not a great Talmid Chacham, Shliach Tzibur also, he represents the community, he represents the Tzibur, and he must walk around like a mensch. Yeah.
What about Stam Mispalel?
There is halachas regards to Stam Mispalel, but it's not as... He needs to be even more careful.
So I'm thinking about, sort of, let's say, a more... not going with the Shoshit's clothes, but a more moderate case of not going with perfect suit. Let's say go with muddy shoes.
Right. Interesting question, Rabbi Yisai. Interesting. What do you think, Rabbi Yisai, about muddy shoes? You come from a hike, and your shoes are muddy. Muddy shoes, Rabbi Yisai. Do you think that would this halacha would apply, or do you think that's okay? Good question, Rabbi Yisai. What do you think, Rabbi Yisai? Interesting halacha. Muddy shoes. Ask non-shochtim. After the whole day's hike, muddy, rainy, you know, it was muddy. You come in. What do you think about it? Is it a problem or not? Pardon, say that again?
You might not have.
Yeah? Yeah?
So it's quite nice that we even have paved floors in Batabajaka.
Sure.
People used to only have mud for half the year in Eastern Europe. And,
sure.
And everyone had muddy shoes, and they used to, the whole halakha is that you want to spit on the floor, make sure you just rub your foot on.
Correct.
That's the best measure. So it sounds like people what we mucked with previously, nowadays, maybe you want to.
Interesting.
But even then, it says what to be muddled between blood and guts and a bit of mud.
I hear that.
The key question, should one miss tefillah b'tzibur if one's not in the right begadim and you're 10 minutes before shkir and you're either miss davening mincha you don't. That's the key question, isn't it? Whether you have to sacrifice.
Exactly, that would be a nice way of putting the shaila, yeah. I'm not sure. I think the question is a very interesting question. I have a feeling that muddy shoes wouldn't be a problem. That's my feeling, but it's an interesting horror. Continues the Ramo. Who is very particular to walk around with his dirty clothes. He's particularly wants to walk around with that clothes. He's proud of being a shoychad. That's the way. That's me. I'm not pretending I'm a more elegant, posh person. That's the way I walk around. Leave me alone. If he refuses to change, if he refuses, then you say, excuse me, find yourself another minion. Maybe you find a minion in the abattoir amongst the chickens, but that's not the way we daven over here. Continues the further halacha. A shliach tzibur amenabel piv, who speaks inappropriately. Shliach tzibur speaks inappropriately. He just doesn't have the right words. He doesn't speak nicely. Oy, alternatively, shemeranin b'shirei hanochim. He sings goyish songs. Shirei hanochim, goyish songs. Memachim b'yodo shalei la'asoyskein. First, initially, we protest that he shouldn't do so. V'meini shemeran, if he doesn't listen, he continues to sing goyish song. Ma'virin oysoy, he is to be removed. Indeed. Now, Now we'll see further details in Mishnah Bosef Kogan Pei Beis, but let me just finish the Ramah. Shliach Tzibur Shehizkin, a Shliach Tzibur has gone old. V'roitze lemano is b'noi lesayu lefrokim. He's gone old and his voice has gone a bit schwach over the last few years, and he wants to appoint his son to take over his position. He feels that his son has got his most adorable voice. He wants his son to take over. And he realized that his voice is not all that great. Although the voice of his son is not all that great, it's not bad, but it's not as his father in his good days. If his son fills his father's shoes in other areas, the son comes first, the tzibur cannot protest against. This is a fascinating and very important halacha. We will go in greater detail in Mitzvah, maybe tomorrow, into this halacha. But the halacha that he said over is the follows. You have a father who used to be the chazan, and he's got this most gorgeous voice, and then he's gone a little bit old. And he knows that it's not the same, and he knows the committees and the subcommittees are already discussing he's moving on. But he's got this son who he feels he's got a good voice. So is he entitled to does his son have right to be the first right or not? So the answer is that if the son has got a fairly good voice, acceptable voice, he's not completely flat, he's got an acceptable voice, b'noi koidem, the son comes first before anybody and any other candidates. Okay, that's a very important halacha, because of course we have to think about what happens when it's a rabbonus shaila. You've got a rav who was the rav for 40 years, 50 years, and now he needs to retire, or even he's deceased, he's nifta. And now there's a son, but there's many other candidates who want to take over the kehila. Who comes first? Is it the son of the rav, who is ganz fine, he's okay, he's all right, but there's other candidates who may be a little bit more superior in Torah, who comes first? The son comes first, others. Fascinating shaila. This every killer had to go through this shaila. Yeah, but let's see, we're going to see further about that. Yeah. Very good. Why may I
hesitate? Is it connected with the Torah mitzvah of someone who has wants to sell a house, has to have 7 tells of the neighbors?
Well, we'll get to the answer is because there is such a concept. We find by there is such a concept that the son takes. It's a Torah concept that the son takes over the father. It's not. There is a kadima in the son. But you know, we'll get into more halachas. But I want to first speak about the Goshen song. Okay, let's speak of the Goshen songs first. The Mishnah Bosef Kogan Pei Beis speaks about Shir Nochim. Okay, the Mishnah Bosef says, what are we talking about when we talk about Goshen songs? We're talking about specifically songs or tunes that are used for their service in the Tifle. So, if a chazan sings a song which is a Goshen song, but it's not a song which is related to their service, that's not what the Rambam is talking about. Okay, we have to be that. The Bach b'tshuva simen kuf chav zayin kosaf, dafke benignu shemiyuchad lazeh. The Bach adds that it's a tune which is specifically designated for their service. Right. So that's an important point. That's an important point. A tune which is designated, which has been created and which is designated for Avodah Zorah, for that is when and a chazan sings that kind of song, then that's inappropriate. However, the truth is, I'm not this or anybody into history of musics, science of music, or I don't know exactly what the science is. What is that called? If you want to find out the history of the musics, I'm sure there is such a thing. Yeah, so apparently so, and I'm not an expert in that by all accounts, but apparently quite a lot of Avnei Gudim are actually, the source is actually not necessarily a Jewish source. Apparently so, have you heard of such a thing once? Yeah, so apparently a lot of Avnei Gudim, I don't know much about it, but apparently some of Avnei Gudim, something in the poskim, some of Avnei Gudim are actually not, they're not to be traced back in necessarily Yiddish Mekoros, some of it apparently comes from non-Jewish sources. So how come they have been brought into the tefillah? How come that they are brought into the tefillah? How is that acceptable? The answer is because these were not negunim that were ever used. Pardon? Yes, right. It was never used for their avodah zarah. It was never used in the tefillah. It was never used. It was just songs that the goyim sang, and they were then. I saw the one of the nusach was that it was misroimim. They were ma'aled negunim to be part of our avodah zarah Hashem. Yeah.
But how do we know if, let's say, a nigger is not, if it's been used once in one, if it, let's say it's been the tune has been copied from some kind of worship tune.
Yeah.
How do we know it's not been used once in the church?
So I see. That's a good question. I don't know, but apparently that is the situation. That's the Matthias. Because the people have investigated the matter and have said that they've actually found out that some of our tunes actually, they do come from outside. But upon further investigation, it turned out they were not used in their service. It was just, you know, regular songs. So apparently so, yeah. But I wouldn't be able to provide evidence for that. Yeah.
Like from opera.
Yeah, yeah. So that's not that, right? Very good.
Some of the opera is not, it could be from a church event or something, a choir.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but I have heard some cousins do from that.
It could be from an opera, but it wouldn't be necessarily. It wouldn't be from a tifl. It wouldn't be part of the. Yeah, there was one bialoch rabbi which I failed to mention, and I really feel it's a very important lamar. But before we go, there's a very important bialoch. But before we go, let me just finish this Mishnah Munsif Kotten Pei Beis. The Mishnah Munsif Pei Beis says, carry on from where we stopped. Ha'olich ba'akoyis, somebody who goes to Goyish court, shavoy de gilulim, postul yishleach tzibu b'reish ha'shanu v'yem ha'kipurim, elin ken osot tshuva. Beis, this is actually very much following what we learned earlier about the snag is the general behavior of a chazan who is an established chazan kavua, in particular, but not only. We learned that he has to be a shemaim, and there's various qualities that he needs to have. Over here, it's mentioned in Mishneh Berurah that a chazan who goes to Goyish court instead of going to a din Torah, a chazan who goes, at first instance, he goes to a court instead of going to a din Torah, his posel is posel. His posel, it's unacceptable. You have to first go to a din Torah to sort your monetary issues out, and you have to, that's what you have to do. That's what Mishneh Berurah paskens, and Chaim Kanevsky paskens aloha nice that as well. Right, okay. What I wanted to mention is the bialoch over here. Please excuse me, I failed to mention this earlier. The bialoch asked a question on the earlier aloha that we learned. We spoke about if there's a rumor. And there's a rumor in there. What's the halacha if there's rumor, bad rumors about somebody? What's the halacha there? What do we say?
Investigate.
It has to be investigated further. Why is it that it says over here, the Mishneh Berurah says, the halacha says that if there's a very, very strong rumor, that is really spread out completely throughout the city, it's a very, very strong rumor, and then he says there is room to actually. If it's a very, it's not just a little rumor, but it's a very well-established rumor that everybody talks about it, the whole town talks about it, then there is room to remove him. Very, very strong rumor, then there is room to remove him. Why is that? The bialoch says, how can that be? It's, how can it be that if there's, how can you cause such a monetary loss just from a rumor? How can that be? So again, if it's just a simple rumor, just people talking about it, you don't remove him, you just pass it on to the Dayanim. However, it's a very, very well-established rumor that everybody talks about it, very well-established rumor, then actually you can remove him from the post. Bialocha asked on that, is that really fair? Can you remove somebody from the post from just a rumor, a very well-spread rumor? Is that appropriate or not? What's the answer to that, Rabbi Yisai? How can that be? Cause monetary loss from a rumor? That's interesting, Bizoyan. Okay, I hear that. What did you want to say? Good. Now, the Bialocha says over here something, which I feel is a very important piece of Bialocha. The Bialocha says that, let me read the words of the Bialocha, it's the last two lines of this Bialocha on this page. Hoyla lishmoy as atzmoy shelo yovoy lezeh. That a person who has a shtela, a person who has a job within the community, he has to ensure that there is no rumors about him being spread. There is no smoke without fire. It's very unlikely if the rumors are so well established, if the rumor is mamash spread around, that he should have ensured that there's no rumors like that. He should have ensured. You know, there was never rumors about Rav Eliashiv that he did. There was never rumors about, you know, if there is such well-spread rumors, that he should have ensured that it doesn't happen. He should have ensured. And the fact that there are rumors being spread about him, you know, so there is, if it's so well-spread, if it's so well if it's public knowledge, then he must have done something wrong. Interesting, bialacha. He should have protected himself that these rumors are not created in the first instance. Interesting, bialacha. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoy. After having heard some beautiful divrei psicha by Rav Katanka Shlita Halevi from Gateshead, we then learned that there's a few levels of rumors. A simple, if there's just rumors about a person that he's nitfasim akutis, he had chaiches with the goita, or that he went to authorities, then the halacha is, if there's simple rumors, you just pass it on information to a bezin, you don't act more than that. However, we just discussed now, bialacha says if the rumors is very well spread, then there is room to discuss this further, because it should have been sure there's no coil about him. The Ramah discussed if there's edim, proper edim, of course you fire him, there's nothing to talk about. The halacha then continues and says the shliach tzibur, who also acts as a shoychet or a boydeik, he should ensure that he goes into shul dressed appropriately, and if not, then if he's very adamant to walk around with his dirty clothes, you're allowed to remove him. And shliach tzibur talks not nice words, and he's just disrespectful, his mouth doesn't say the right words, you can sack him as well. Similarly, also somebody who sings goyish songs, you can also, first you protest, and eventually you can actually take him away from the job. The Mishnah Berurah defines what does shir enochim mean, and he says these are dafka songs which are used for their tiflis. Otherwise, it's not. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention that it's an issue. The Mishnah Berurah does mention as well, ha'olich ba'akoy, somebody who goes to goyish court, is inappropriate to be a shliach tzibur. He cannot act as a representative of the community. And finally, which touched on halacha, which will be discussed further tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we touched on the Ramah that says that a shliach tzibur got old and he wants to appoint his son to take over his job. If the son's voice is okay, you take him and he comes before anybody else. But we'll continue this halacha, Mitzvah Hashem, in greater detail tomorrow.